Thank you, Madam President. As this is the first time I've taken the floor this week, let me begin by congratulating you on your assumption of the presidency and assure you of my delegation's full support in discharging your important duties. Let me also thank you for convening today's session on risk reduction, which is a key concern for all of us. And I want to thank the panelists for their excellent insights as well. It is entirely appropriate to be discussing this issue here in the CD. As Deputy Assistant Secretary Bell reminded us, Agenda Item 2 is concerned with the prevention of nuclear war, including all related matters. And this is exactly what our conception of strategic risk reduction means. And indeed, we have seen in the past how risk reduction measures pave the way for disarmament. The United Kingdom's Integrated Review of 2021 recognised the importance of risk reduction. It affirmed that we would continue to work internationally to reduce the risk of nuclear conflict and enhance mutual trust and security. We are committed to championing and pursuing all elements of strategic risk reduction, including promoting confidence building and predictability through dialogue, increasing understanding, and establishing effective crisis management and prevention tools. Our 2023 Integrated Review Refresh, published 10 days ago, reaffirmed our commitment to reducing the risk of miscalculation and misunderstanding. Our aim is to establish regular strategic level dialogues to build confidence and transparency around security ambitions, vital interests, and military doctrines. During the Cold War, such mechanisms gave all parties a higher level of confidence that we would not miscalculate our way into nuclear exchange. The UK will seek to maintain and establish reliable lines of political and military communication so that in moments of heightened tension, we have quick and effective means by which to de-escalate or to manage escalation. This will be a long-term endeavour. Our panellists have set out several areas in which risk reduction measures can have an impact. In particular, we agree with Deputy Assistant Secretary Bell on the importance of transparency, both amongst nuclear weapon states and between nuclear weapon states and non-nuclear weapon states. And also, we agree with Ambassador Vinanen on the central role of non-proliferation in reducing nuclear risk. An increased number of nuclear-possessing states would increase the likelihood of nuclear weapons use developing from regional conflicts or skirmishes. Nascent nuclear weapons programs bring inherent safety and security challenges, as the programs are unlikely to be able to draw from personnel with experience in handling and securing such weapons and material. All states parties to the NPT have an interest in confronting contemporary proliferation challenges. This should include full implementation by all states of the highest standards of nuclear safety, security, and safeguards. On which note, Madam President, I can't refrain from responding to the continued deliberate distortions and misrepresentations of the distinguished representative of China on the AUKUS initiative to support Australia in their acquisition of nuclear-powered, conventionally armed submarines, a capability I should point out which is already present in the Indo-Pacific region, as indeed the distinguished representative of China will be all too well aware. He will also know that the AUKUS parties are working very closely with the IAEA in making sure, working through the safeguards implications of the program, and that the Director General of the agency has professed himself more than satisfied with the level of cooperation and transparency he and his staff have received from the three parties. If the distinguished delegate of China is really concerned about transparency, I would urge him to look closer to home. He appeared to be very familiar, for example, with other countries' nuclear weapon warhead stockpiles and fissile material stocks, and yet he appears reluctant, or his delegation has in the past at least, been reluctant to share such details about China's capabilities and programs. And of course, I would welcome him if he wanted to correct the record on that. Returning to nuclear risk reduction, Madam President, let me highlight two further areas in which the UK is particularly engaged. First, on reducing timeframes for decision-making. Compressed decision-making timelines can increase the risk of unintentional escalation by limiting opportunities for diplomacy and restricting potential off-ramps. Previous instances of false warnings and human errors further underscore the importance of maximising the time available for reliable intelligence assessments and for crisis prevention and mitigation measures. High readiness postures, for example, increase the likelihood for inadvertent launch during times of crisis. Dual-use systems further complicate deterrence relationships by blurring the line between conventional and nuclear capabilities and shortening decision-making timelines. The second area is crisis communications. The UK has long identified misinterpretation as a driver of accidental, miscalculated, or unintentional escalation. This risk is magnified during crises, where non-existent, weak, or inefficient communication lines can increase uncertainty and ambiguity about the intent and behaviour of another state, and when normal communication channels may be vulnerable to attack or sabotage. As a consequence, actions taken by all parties can be misinterpreted or misconstrued, potentially provoking a misguided or disproportionate response and increasing the likelihood of miscalculation. Crisis communications can be supported and supplemented by routine communications and information exchanges, coming back again to transparency. In an increasingly complicated multipolar security environment, continued dialogue provides an invaluable tool to manage and address nuclear issues affecting security relationships. Recent events, not least Russia's unprovoked and unlawful war of aggression against Ukraine and Russia's reckless nuclear actions, have only underscored the importance of this work. We continue to see the reduction of strategic risks as one of our foremost responsibilities. It is in all our interest to be actively working for the preservation of the record of non-use of nuclear weapons that has been in place since 1945. Even if current events make risk reduction measures more difficult, they also make them even more necessary. Mr. Camara was absolutely right to say that these measures do not exist in isolation, but in a wider disarmament context, including domains and technologies beyond nuclear. We have said many times that risk reduction measures are not a substitute for disarmament, but it bears repeating. Risk reduction is crucial in its own right, but risk reduction measures also prepare the ground for disarmament, including by building confidence and trust between nuclear weapon states, by creating the environment for further reductions in nuclear weapon stockpiles, and also by reducing the salience of nuclear weapons in national security doctrines. Risk reduction is therefore entirely in line with the overarching goals of the Non-Proliferation Treaty and supports our collective efforts to achieve disarmament and the ultimate goal of a world without nuclear weapons with undiminished security for all. Madam President, building a more secure environment is a collective responsibility. The UK believes all states have a stake in reducing risk and that multilateral risk reduction should incorporate diverse views. We welcome the continued contributions to the debate by existing initiatives and working groups, and we are looking to engage with both nuclear weapon states and non-nuclear weapon states to progress understanding and identify any steps that can be taken to reduce the risk of nuclear conflict. In this spirit, the UK welcomes the continued engagement of all states in the ongoing global security discussion and their continued openness to dialogue. I thank you.